Track 6, The Gothic Chapel. The Gothic Chapel is not an original medieval church, but has been built to look like one. Gothic is the name of the architectural style popular in the 13th and 14th centuries. How different are the large windows in the semicircular apse from the narrow Romanesque windows you saw upstairs? So here's the question. With so much of the wall cut out for windows, how does that heavy stone roof stay up? Look up at the roof. It's covered in a network of ribs, called, unsurprisingly, rib vaulting. Follow one of the ribs with your eye until it runs into the wall halfway down. This is the line that the weight of the roof travels. If you looked at the walls from the outside, in the herb garden, you would see that they are buttressed from outside. Look at the picture. There's your very own York Minster with its buttresses extending so far out from the walls that they were called flying buttresses. Walk to the window at the foot of the stairs that you came down. Look for the red glass panel. What architectural structure do you see depicted there in the upper left window? Flying buttresses and rib vaulting enabled roofs to rise higher and higher. There goes the vaulting of Beauvais Cathedral, just a tad too high for medieval technology. The increased height changed the acoustics of churches, increasing reverberation. So the music started to change from singing in unison to polyphony, with singers singing different parts. Listen to how the music soars upwards. Concentrate now on the stained glass windows. With any luck, the light will be shining through them and you can see their bright colours. Look at the first panel on the left, near the top. It's another scene of the Annunciation, when the angel Gabriel tells Mary she is to be the Virgin Mother of Christ. Mary wears a crown and purple cloak and looks modestly away as the winged angel Gabriel greets her. Keeping your eye on the light filtering through Mary, listen to Bernard of Clairvaux.
Just as the brilliance of the sun penetrates a glass window without damaging it, so the splendor of the Father entered the virgin chamber and then came forth from the closed womb.
Look back now at your sketch of the Merode triptych with the Christ child entering the room through the window. Just as light passes through glass and leaves it intact, so Christ passes into Mary's womb, leaving her virgin body intact. This sermon in glass enacts the belief that God is light. The external light prompts you to gaze inward to contemplate inner spiritual enlightenment. The rich colours of the glass look like precious gems, reflecting and refracting light beautifully. Abbot Suger speaks of how he used to meditate on real gems in his Abbey of Saint-Denis, transcending in his mind the material world so that he saw himself
dwelling in some strange region of the universe which neither exists entirely in the slime of the earth nor entirely in the purity of heaven.
Gems, stained glass, carved stonework, all these cost money. When you made your will before leaving for Spain, you bequeathed money for stained glass in York's cathedral. And one of your neighbours in York recently bequeathed a gold and diamond ring to hang permanently about the neck of the statue of the Virgin and Child in the cathedral. Such gifts were designed to gain favour in God's eyes. Pause the tape and write down all the social benefits in the community that the bequest of stained glass will bring you. Might your money have been more profitably spent? The French abbot Bernard of Clairvaux thought so.
The church clothes her stones in gold and leaves her sons naked.
Look up again at the chapel roof. Its height lifted, some up toward God, but to others it was more like the Tower of Babel, a monument to pride. Stand at the tomb closest to the apse windows. This is the tomb of crusader Jean d'Alluye, buried around 1248 in an abbey near Le Mans in France, a little off the pilgrim route to Santiago. By the time he was brought overseas to the cloisters here in New York, the abbey had been closed and his effigy had been turned upside down and used to bridge a stream. Jean d'Alluye joined the Crusades in 1240 and brought back a piece of the cross on which Christ was said to be crucified. He lies with his hands folded in prayer, but yet he wears armour. Although by 1492 the Crusades are long over, religious wars are still continuing. Do you think that there is any way to interpret this knight's armour symbolically? What kinds of spiritual battles do you think you might fight? Go down the steps now to the treasury to begin track 7.